Does the Pawnee offer any type of scholarships or any, or do they have PHS hospitals, or does the government provide any type of welfare? Or
Yes, I think that the state there, or the government, provides welfare for some of them, the same as they do for the Anglo, and there is scholarships that are offered, I think, through the BIA.
Do you know why the Pawnees, why the reservation got smaller, or was it just because they started allotting their own land, or?
Well, when they did allot their own lands, naturally, when they were approached to sell their land by a lot of them thinking that they needed the money right then and that they could do better by moving into town with that money, did sell. Some of them sold it because they wanted to go to school, and I guess it was a sad thing that the government let them sell it, that because when they did sell it, they just squandered the money on other things and got no benefits from it.
The Pawnees are organized in four bands.
Yes, the Pawnees are in four bands.
Can you name them?
We have four bands there. The Skeedy Band, which is on the north. Skeedy is, I guess, the principal band, or was at one time. And then we have the Chowies and the Kitkiharats and the Kitkihotkis. These four bands there were set up in Oklahoma when they came down from Nebraska, about the same as they were in Nebraska there, with Skeeties on the north, the Kitkiharats on the south, and Chowies on the east, and the Kitkihotkis on the west.
Was there much interaction between the Pawnee Nation and the United States government, like cavalry or whatever?
Let me have that question again.
Was there, when the Pawnees are moving down from Nebraska and when they're getting Oklahoma, was there a lot of interaction, like fighting or whatever, between the Pawnee Nation and the Americans?
Well, as far as I know, I don't believe the Pawnee has ever went against the United States government or fought against the United States government. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of them that were scouts for the Army, for the North Brothers and so forth, but as far as fighting against the United States government, I don't believe they ever did.
Mm-hmm. And what was their relationship to the other tribes around there, like, I think there's Poncas and Otoes and other tribes around there.
Well, that's quite a question there, but the Pawnees and Otoes and all of them there, right in that part of that world, become pretty closely knit on account of their, well, I guess their living conditions and so forth. But at one time, you know, the Sioux tribe, which the Oto and the Osages so forth are from, were bitter enemies of the Pawnees.
The 600 to 900 Pawnees still live in that area?
No, they're scattered all over there. I guess you might say the globe. We even have some in Guam. We have a family that's living in England, and some down in the Middle East, and I guess nearly every state in the Union has at least one Pawnee. Mm-hmm.
When did you move down in this area?
I moved down in this area in, I think, during the Depression days there in 1931. I took a civil service. I took a civil service examination and got a job with the Soil Conservation in Gallup, New Mexico.
And then from where did you go then?
Well, after being in Gallup there, I worked on the Navajo Reservation out of Window Rock, Arizona, and at the Indian School at Fort Wingate. From there, I was joined the Army and volunteered induction to the Army during World War II and went overseas. Upon returning, I went back to work at Fort Wingate Ordnance Depot and then transferred from there to the Air Force at Kirtland Air Force Base. And I've been here in Albuquerque since.
You were a soil conservationist on the Navajo Reservation. What did your job consist of, and can you tell us something about it?
Yes, I worked for the Soil Conservation. I wasn't a conservationist. I traveled most of the reservation there with supplies for range riders and different projects that were on the reservation. They were building stock tanks all over the place at the time, and it was my job as a truck driver there to do these things.
What was your impression of the Navajo Reservation during those times, Depression times?
Well, some of the reservation I thought was very poor land, but some of it is real good land, and I imagine all of it is good agriculture land, if you can get the water to it. I think that was the main thing, that they just didn't have water here in places that they should have.
Do you think the BIA or federal government should appropriate more money for irrigation projects on reservations?
Yes, I think they should. I think that they should get a lot more irrigation on the Navajo Reservation there or anywhere here in the Southwest, not only on the Navajo Reservation, but Zinni and some of the others. Of course, some of these pueblos here have quite a bit of water, but then they've been limited to their irrigation also. But the Navajo land is a very rich. I think you can grow most anything there if you can get the water to it.
I guess in your opinion, how would you compare the Navajo tribe then as to what it is now?
Well, I think that the Navajo tribe has come a long ways in the last 20 years. When I first came out here and what they are now, they are still a long ways to go, of course, but they have improved the reservation a lot, and I think that there's still a lot more improvement coming up with different things that I see going on. It's after being on the reservation in them days and then back over there in the last year or so, I've seen a lot of improvement on the reservation.
Because the Pawnees allotted their lands, how do you feel the Navajos should deal with their reservation?
Well, I don't know. It's a pretty hard question to answer, but with the Navajos and their reservation, they still have their land, and they still have a lot of their old traditions that is being lost in a lot of the Plains tribes because of this allotment of land. Why they not only lost their land, but they're losing their traditions also.
What do you think of Red Power or militant Indians?
Well, I think that it's a good thing. They do it, they go about it the right way. Also, I don't like the word Red Power. If they would coin another word for it, it seems as if though they're kind of taking somebody else's words there, and instead of saying red power, they could use some other means of expression there. Powers and putting their views into public.
What did you think of the NCAI convention?
Well, the NCAI convention, I think, is a good thing. At least it gets several different tribes of Indians together, and they express their views and things. It seems to me that they're leaning a little towards the red side or the communist side, but nevertheless, they seem to be doing a pretty good job and letting the United States government know of the needs of the Indian people and their way and view of thinking of different things that the Indian Bureau is doing and the United States government has done.
Did you ever participate in Gallup ceremonials as a dancer?
No, I've never participated there at Gallup, but my son has participated there, and also my son's mother participated there.
What do you think of the Gallup ceremonials?
For the Anglo people, I think it's a wonderful thing. It's a way of that they can see a lot of the dances and ceremonies of the Indian people. But for the Indian people themselves, I don't think too much of it. It seems as though that they go to a lot of expenses and so forth to get out there each year, and then to get back home, and a lot of them have to pawn a lot of their stuff, and that is their costumes and things to get back home. And being in town like there, where alcoholic beverages and drinks are available, why naturally they consume a lot of it. But if this was run some other place as to where they would get a fair deal out of it, I'd be all for it, because it does show the people some of the traditions and ceremonies of the Indian people.
Mm-hmm. Going back to the Navajo Reservation when you worked out there, how were you received being another Indian?
At first, on the Navajo Reservation, I was taken for a Spanish or a Mexican, but after the Indians found out that I was Indian, I was received very well up there and still am.
When you went to Shalako school, can you tell us something about that?
Well, when I went to school at Shalako, it was kind of military-like. We were up every morning, and along about 5, we had different chores to do, and we did drilling, army type of drilling, and each year they had competitive drillings. That was during commencement week, but as far as the school was concerned, we had our academic work for half a day, and then we went to our shop work for half a day. There we were getting our book learning as well as learning the trade. They had a very good trade school there at Shalako at the time, which included a lot of different trades such as printing and blacksmithing, leather work.